Hello and welcome to the Tennis Menu's daily ATP final show. Val Febbo here with you. And remember, next Wednesday, the Tennis Menu webinar, 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Myself and Mark Sefulis will be chatting all things coaching and about the Tennis Menu. And Mark's got a lot of experience coaching AFL, coaching tennis, coaching absolutely everything. He told me he coaches a Latin dancer as well. So we'll probably get that out of him a little bit later on in the show. But we do have a big program lined up for you today. Dominic Thiem is through to the semis in London with a big win over Rafael Nadal. We'll discuss his career progression and how he's been able to finally translate that dominating form on the clay to dominating form on the hards as well. And Stefano Tsitsipas coming back from the brink against Andre Rublev in almost a mirror image match of their encounter in Hamburg. We'll chat more about that. But before we do, on the Tennis Menu's daily ATP final show, we've got to get these two men in. And the coach of Latin dancers, Mark Sefulis, how are you?
Good, Mel. And yes, I have worked with a Latin dancer, and I do work with a singer, songwriter who's about to release her first album. And yes, I do coach tennis and AFL. So it's a bit weird that I can do that, but I love the variety of work. And but this is my main area, which is tennis coaching. And I love talking about the game and where it's at, and no better people to join with than you two boys. So I really enjoy it.
There better be a song on that album saying Ode to Sefulis. Is it?
Just Jingle Bells. That's all it's there, mate. So
disappointing. Move on. Joel Ferrucci, how are you?
Yeah, good, boys. Have we got the Tennis Menu after dark today again, or have we moved on from that?
Well, we can if you want. Have you got any story for us?
Oh, not personally.
Oh, it's sporadic. Let's start the show with a clean slate, because yesterday ended in a lot of tears, a lot of laughs, and very, very immature humor, which that's my number one thing in life. I'm very I love a bit of dirty humor, so let's try and keep free of that today. Maybe the Mankini can come out later on in the week, and we can try wearing that. But it was Dominic Thiem last night against Rafael Nadal, 7-6, 7-6. It was, I tried to stay up as late as I could watching it. I said I would, and that I'd be grumpy in the morning. I'm a little bit grumpy because I stayed up till 2, and the match was only an hour old, and they were at 4-all in the first set. So it wasn't moving at lightning pace, but the rallies, oh my God, they were amazing. And watching again this morning, the pair were just on song, and the level didn't dip throughout the entire match. And what Dominic Thiem has been able to do against Rafael Nadal, he's won their only two encounters this year. But what's more impressive is that the last five sets that he's won against Rafael Nadal, guys, have all been in tiebreaks. So he's got the ability to go clutch against one of the best clutch players in the history of tennis.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Val. And that's obviously what this level is all about. When you play the ATP finals, you're playing the best players, and it's those minute little things that that make the big difference. And obviously Dominic Thiem under the pressure this morning, our time, was absolutely incredible. And, you know, I don't think Rafa played a bad match. It was, you know, just the small things that Dominic Thiem did in those big moments that were able to get him over the line, and, you know, slightly better serve percentage winning ratio, and slightly better on return. And that's obviously where the match is won. And with the courts playing so fast, obviously, you know, he was able to adapt to those key moments. And unfortunately for Nadal, he's now got a do or die match now with Stefano Tsitsipas to get through to the semi-final. So yeah, it's going to be a huge match for him. And look, he's playing some good tennis, so I can't see why, you know, he won't be capable of getting through that. But yeah, incredible match by Dominic Thiem.
Yeah, it really was. And Joel, just looking at this, how important was it for Thiem not to choke? Because at 5-4 up in the second set with Nadal serving, Thiem had three consecutive match points, couldn't convert on any of them. Nadal saved them with utter gusto. And then to go into the tiebreak and win that, win it 7-4, not convincingly, but not overly close by any means. How important is that for him going forward for the rest of the tournament to say that, look, I'm here. You're going to have to blow me off the court if you're going to beat me.
Yeah, well, it was crucial that he did get that back against Rafa, because it goes without saying that Rafa is a guy that you cannot afford to choke against, really, in any circumstance, because we know that guys like Rafa, like Novak Djokovic, once you choke, they're not going to give that back to you. So it was absolutely critical. And yeah, really important as well. It was a bit of a statement, I think, from Dominic Thiem. I mean, he's made a lot of them this year. It was really the year that he had to have. I think it's been probably the breakthrough year for Dominic Thiem, certainly winning the US Open, but a real statement from him come the year-end finals, just to say to a guy like Rafa, look, you know, I'm not really the heir to the throne anymore. I'm here. I'm ready. You know, I'm one of the big guys now. So yeah, huge win for him. Of course, on the day, probably the most important thing about it is that he has secured himself passage to the semi-finals out of Group London 2020 now. And that now leaves a really, really tasty matchup in the last round of matches between Rafa and Stefanos Tsitsipas, who eventually got over the top of Andre Rublev in three.
Yeah, he did. And yeah, you are right. Dominic Thiem is no... Well, he's still the heir apparent at Roland Garros, but he well and truly got Nadal's measure. Well, he leads the head-to-head 6-5 outside Roland Garros. And that's the most impressive thing. And Nadal has... The last match that these two played on a hard court before 2020 was the 2018 US Open quarterfinal. Nadal won that in a final set tiebreak. Thiem has never lost a tiebreak to Nadal since that day. So I think he's really worked so hard on improving himself. And Mark, I'll ask you this before we get to the second match of last night. What has Thiem been able to do, and how has he been able to do it, to become that generally just a pure clay court player where he was good on that, he was flashy on the other surfaces, but wasn't really going to make any sort of indent, to now a real contender at, I'm not sure about Wimbledon because we haven't gotten to see that since 2019, but at the other slams anyway, the Australian Open, the US Open, the French, he's made the final of all three of those. And he's just been super impressive.
Yeah. I would love to know what he did behind the scenes, obviously with his coaching team and what he's worked on, but there's no doubt he's playing up the court a bit more on those surfaces than probably what he was earlier on. He was more comfortable playing back and being able to play heavier from the back of the court. But to be able to play well on a hard court or a faster surface, your serve and return need to be outstanding. You need to have good court position. You need to have a good offense, as well as defensive movement. But I think he's able to hold the court a little bit better now. He's able to pop the ball a bit bigger. He's definitely stronger. He's moving well. You know, I just think he's become a better version of himself over the last 2 years. I think there's nothing that you could have done drastically, but, you know, slight court position changes and strength changes make a big difference to the game. And you know, Joel was right. I mean, He's definitely put himself in the big three. I think now we can look at maybe the big four. And, you know, I think Dominic Thiem's really making a statement in terms of the ATP Tour now. And, you know, will he be challenging these guys in every slam now rather than just, you know, one or two? I think he's there. I think he's ready. I think he's playing some amazing tennis. And, you know, he's in that sort of age bracket where he's now mature enough and old enough, but not too old, if that makes sense. So I think he's had the time on the court. He's played a lot of matches. He's played the big players now. He's traveled for a long period of time, and he's the mature age of the young guys, I guess, coming through. And that's where he sits. And yeah, looking forward to what he's able to bring, because he's going to be very, very hard to beat the way he's playing.
And he really is. And he's got the power, guys. He has got genuine power to go toe to toe with even the likes of Rafael Nadal, who not many can go toe-to-toe with. So I think that's the most impressive thing, that he's done that twice this year, gone pound for pound with Rafa and beaten him. Mm. And that's the most impressive thing, I think. And it's the fourth time now that he's qualified for the ATP Finals, or fifth time, sorry, that he's qualified for the ATP Finals. This guy's been around for a long time. He made the semis of the French in 2016 and 17 before the final in 18 and 19. But after that final in 18, the French was the only slam that he'd made the quarters in. So he's had an unbelievable couple of years, and what he's been able to do ever since Nicolas Massou has come in to be his coach. And Mark, you and I spoke a great deal about what he's been able to do at the US Open, but it's so, so, so impressive. But Rublev and Tsitsipas, the second match of last night, and this one, well, Stefanos Tsitsipas could have had this one over in straight sets. He won it 6-1, 4-6, 7-6. But in the end, it'll be Andre Rublev, the one that's kicking himself, Joel.
Yeah, it was a real roller coaster, particularly that final set. There were a few a few moments in that set that were really decisive in the overall scheme of things. Both players had their chances. Stefanos Tsitsipas, as you say, Val, he could have probably wrapped it up earlier, but also he really was on the brink of losing at one point. There was a game in that set, I forget exactly which one, I think it may have been the fourth game of the third set, where Rublev was serving, and he saved 5 break points in that one game alone before eventually holding. So that was a major opportunity for Stefanos. And then in the tiebreaker, he got out to 5-3, but Andrei Rublev managed to claw it back to 6-5 before double faulting on match point. And we spoke about the nerves from Rublev in that opening match against Rafa. And they really did look to come out in that moment there again, because that first serve, I remember watching the breaker and he put down that first serve, and it ended up on the wrong side of the court and a couple of feet long as well. And I just remember thinking, oh man, that looks really, really tight. What's he going to do here? The second serve ended up going into the net, and that was all she wrote in the end. And Stefanos came right over the top. So, look, a real missed opportunity for Andrei Rublev. I'm sure Stefanos will be happy to get out of it. When he was being interviewed after the match, he was almost lost for words when he was asked how exactly he overcame that roller coaster ride. But that does mean that that Stefanos does, as we said before, sets up that blockbuster match with Rafa, winner takes all. Rublev is out now. And I wanted to ask you, Mark, if you're in Rublev's shoes, if you're in his camp, when you have a moment like that where the match really is on your racket and you blow it with something as simple as a double fault, I mean, what are you thinking in the immediate aftermath of that?
Yeah, it is a tough one to finish a match like that, especially when you had opportunity. But I think the positive out of it is that it's on your racket. So it's something you can control. I mean, if it was taken away from you, it's harder to control that. But, you know, you can walk away and go, well, you know, I did it to myself. You know, I didn't even give the guy a chance to lose. You know, I made the error. So, you know, in a way, it's a real positive to look at it that way and go, well, next time I'm not going to do the same thing. You know, I'll put more margin on the serve, or I'll go into the body and try not to go for lines or whatever it might be. And you'll learn from it and you can control that. And as I said, it's harder to control the opponent. If they've done something out of the ordinary, that's when you walk away and go, like, you know, what can I do with that? But it's a tough loss, because, you know, I think we were discussing before we came on, I think Tsitsipas was a set up. He was 3-all. He had 15-40 on Rublev's serve, and probably should have broken to go 4-3 up and probably clean the match up in straight. He spends an extra probably hour or so on the court and has to grind through it. So I thought it was a good match from Stefanos, but he probably had that lapse of concentration midway through the match, which allowed Rublev in. And I guess Rublev's maturity probably wasn't quite at the level it needed to be able to close that one out and take the match, which he probably didn't deserve early in the match, but obviously in that second part of the match, it changed and he totally took control. So, yeah, it was one of those interesting matches between two young guys that probably... I think Steph probably had the slight bit more maturity in the end to be able to get through that, and obviously sets up a mouth-watering match with Rafa Nadal, which is going to be incredible to watch. You know, I mean, we've got the court playing fast. Tsitsipas loves the fast speed of the court, and you've got Rafa, who doesn't really like it as much, but, you know, Rafa's Rafa, so it's going to be quite an impressive battle to see who comes through to be able to make the final, obviously the semi-final, so it'd be good.
The lefty against the one-handed backhand. And, well, Nadal does have a 5-1 head-to-head lead against Stefanos Tsitsipas. So very interesting. And Nadal actually beat Steph last year, who ended up going on to win the tournament. So in this event. So that one's interesting. I'm not sure who to really pick there. But, yeah, Joel, you said before that Steph was a bit lost for words. I don't think he's ever been lost for words, ever. genuinely chat underwater. But
the philosopher.
Yeah, exactly. but Mark, the serve of Tsitsipas last night, I think, was probably the most impressive thing. And looking, 69% first serves in, 81% winning ratio on first serves, 10 aces, no double faults. And he was only broken once for the entire match and only faced one break point.
Yeah, and we've talked about this from the start of the tournament. I think it's the player who can serve the best on the days in a win. I mean, at the end of the day, it's very, very hard to break serve. on a surface that's as slick as what it is there. And, you know, we've seen that the players who have won the matches have won the first serve points won statistic. And you look at Tsitsipas here was 81% of first serve points won compared to Rublev 75%. So you're looking at a 6% difference, which isn't much. But when you look at one point from winning the match, Rublev, so, you know, it makes a huge difference there. He won 11% more on the second serve than Rublev as well. And that's basically where the match is won and lost. You know, the ability to hold your serve, and especially in a breaker, you know, those sort of key moments, as Joel mentioned before, you know, double fault really hurts. But, you know, it's the key moments, and the serve does play a huge role in whoever wins the match at the ATP Finals. And Tsitsipas isn't known for having a great serve. He's technically not ideal in a few areas of his serve, but what he was able to do was make enough of them and win enough points. At the end of the day, who cares how you look as long as you get the win on the board, and that's what he did last night. And good on him for getting through and, you know, flying the Greek flag. Obviously, again, he's done it here before once before, and can he do it again? I don't know. If he gets through Nadal, he's a good chance. He loves the surface. He loves the speed. It's going to be an interesting battle in this match with Nadal.
Yeah, I think the one for me, probably we'll preview this a little bit more tomorrow, but I think he just lacks the power that Dominic Thiem has in his arsenal to really go with Nadal. So he's going to have to get things done pretty quickly if he can. But tonight, Alexander Zverev against Diego Schwartzman, literally Diego and Goliath, David and Goliath, was going for the pun there. But yeah, don't know about that. But yeah, this one's very interesting. It's 2-2 head-to-head. Zverev, as we mentioned yesterday, the cloud over his head. Look, I'm not sure. Schwartzman, we know what we're going to get. There is going to be no doubt about that in any way, shape, or form. He's going to give us an absolute fight. But Zverev beat him 3 weeks ago, 6-2, 6-1 in the Cologne final. So, Joel, looking at this matchup, who do you see getting through and will it be close?
Yeah, well, I think I've got to lean towards Zverev naturally. But I mean, as you say, Val, of course, the off-court stuff is Zverev potentially, you know, sort of falling over him or occupying his mind is one thing. I think as far as the actual tennis is concerned, I think what's going to be most important, and I think what it's going to come down to is probably Sasha's first serve. I think if he can serve well and get the first serve in, it's going to be really hard for Diego. But if he has the serve problems and if he has to really depend on the second serve to start the points, I think that's really going to be where the door is ajar for Diego Schwartzman. And if he can get on top of that second serve, then who knows? He's a really big chance. So, yeah, for me, that's going to be the most decisive factor. But actually, yeah, you've got to lean towards Zverev. I think maybe he'll do it in two. But again, it's just going to depend on how he serves.
Yeah, and if Schwartzman can just engineer some or just some of his rallying prowess and just engineer some pressure on the Zverev game, I think he's a genuine chance. And I actually think he's going to win this tonight. I really do. And it turns the group on its head, and it really does, because if Schwartzman wins, he's got Daniil Medvedev next, who he's never beaten, but it gives him a chance to actually go through to the semifinals. So I think there's a real lot to play for Diego Schwartzman, because who knows if he's going to get back to this tournament. It's kind of like a Grand Slam final or an AFL Grand Final or something like that. You don't know if you're going to get back to this tournament. So you might as well give it your all while you're there, because you're not Federer, you're not Nadal, you're not Djokovic, you're not going to qualify for 10 years in succession. So
the pressure's off him, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I genuinely think it is. And look, if Jack Sock can make a semi-final at this tournament, Diego can. That's my two cents there. But the big one tonight, Novak Djokovic against Daniil Medvedev. Pong versus Pong. So I'm genuinely not sure who's going to win. I think the way that both played in their first matches was really solid, really sound. And I think with Medvedev winning in Paris 2 weeks ago, I think that might tip the scales in his favour. He's peaking it the right time when you look at this tournament. I don't think anybody's in as good a form as what he is, but Novak Djokovic is Novak Djokovic. And the start of the year that he had to go, what was it, 34 matches in succession or 32 matches in succession up until he hit a wayward ball at a lineswoman. He's been supreme. So yeah, Mark, we'll start with you. Your breakdown and where you think this one's going to be won.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting match. I mean, we talk about them being very, very similar, and they are. They're great absorbers of speed, great defensive players. They both don't rely on their serve, but they can serve quite well at times. So I think it's obviously going to come down to the player who can serve the best. And I actually think from that previous match, Daniil Medvedev actually served better than probably Novak Djokovic did. But, you know, I just can't go past picking against Novak. I feel like it's like Nadal and Federer. I mean, you just can't. I made the mistake of picking against Rafa at French Open. Idiot myself. But I feel like it's just very hard to pick against a Novak Djokovic in a big moment. And I'll probably just pick him for the sake of picking him. I can't split these two. I think they're both very similar in similar situations. And but, you know, if Medvedev serves the way he did in that first round, I feel like he's a really, really big shot. So I even think this will go the distance regardless. I think this might go to a three-setter. But Novak may just tip him over at the end. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Very similar to the Zverev Schwartzman. It could go either way. I really don't know, you know, how to pick these two matches. I think it's a really good draw. Zverev playing really well still, even though didn't get through the first one. But, you know, Joel's right. It comes down to the serve again. You know, you're playing on a fast surface. Your serve needs to be on. I just don't think Diego Schwartzman possesses that weapon on the serve. And I feel that's going to be his biggest downfall as well. So, you know, I'm probably going to go Zverev and Djokovic in these two with no absolute confidence whatsoever. But they're going to be two cracking matches nonetheless.
Well, I think we know exactly what we're going to get from Daniil Medvedev and Novak Djokovic. So these men have met 6 times on tour. Only one of those matches has ended in a straight sets win to Novak Djokovic. Djokovic leads 2-2 head-to-head. 4-2 head-to-head. Their epic match at the ATP Cup this year was just mind-blowing. The way that they played, it was grueling. It was intense. It was 6-1, 5-7, 6-4 to Novak Djokovic. But Medvedev had the two encounters before that. 2019 Australian Open was a Djokovic four-set win. Eastbourne in 2017, 6-4, 6-4 to Novak. And then a Davis Cup tie where Medvedev won the first set but ended up retiring hurt in the fourth. So we are in for a very close encounter tonight. The court speed, I think they're probably going to favour Djokovic with how he moves around the court, but the angles that Medvedev can create are going to be very difficult for Novak Djokovic. So, I think you're right, Mark. I think it's got to be, you can't pick against Novak. You really can't in a tournament like this. I've made that mistake a few times this year, and it's kind of come back to bite me. But, yeah, Joel, who do you have winning this one?
Look, it's a hard one. I think head is saying Novak, but heart is saying Daniil Medvedev. I hope Daniil wins because I love what the guy brings to the sport. I absolutely love watching him play. So, look, I really hope that he wins. But like Mark said, I mean, it's just so hard in good conscience to actually go against Novak because he just is just so reliable and he is Novak. So, I mean, that's really it. And I think the other match probably got to go with Alex Zverev.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, did anyone see the underarm serve that Medvedev put up against Zverev? That was absolutely brilliant. He made it work brilliantly too. But so Mark, you've got, have you got a Zverev Novak win tonight? Yep, I've got Schwartzman. I've got to give Diego a little chance. I have to. And I'd love to see him get a win at this tournament. And look, he's played the hard one. Novak Djokovic is done. So whether he can come up against Medvedev and Zverev and possibly get through to a semi, we don't know. But I reckon he's going to beat Zverev tonight. Just put some pressure on the Sasha serve and go from there. And I do think it's going to be Novak Djokovic. But that's about all we have time for today. And remember, guys, Daily Show 10 is the code that you need when you subscribe to the Tennis Menu. You pop that code in when you're subscribing to our $99.90 package subscription. On the website, you will get a 10% discount. That's $99.90 US. You get the discount, 10%, takes it down to about $89.90 US dollars. It is an amazing package. Over 600 tennis drills and resources to make you a better tennis coach, designed by the one and only Mark Sifoulis. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure having you again on this show and talking some more tennis with you.
Yeah, thanks, Val. Thanks, Joel. It's been obviously a really good night of tennis. Looking forward to an absolute belter tonight. And yeah, it'd be great to talk about it tomorrow because I think there's going to be some really big things that come of it. And obviously we might have some people qualify for the semi-final probably out of tonight's matches. So it'd be really interesting to see who it is.
It sure will. And Joel, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Yeah, it has been. Catch you tomorrow, boys.
I'm going to go and nap after my late night. So I'll see you guys tomorrow and I'll see all of you tomorrow as well. Val Ferbo, Mark Sefoulis and Joel Ferrucci taking you through the Tennis Menu's daily ATP Finals show.